So the reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jo, thank you so much, and good evening, everybody. We're continuing our studies in the book of Ephesians. Please do keep that in front of you on page 1176, and let's pray together. Lord, it is with humility that we come to your word. We pray that you would speak to each one of us. Please open our minds to understand what you are saying to us in the scriptures. And please fill our hearts with your truth, your love, and your peace. Amen. Years ago, I went on a walking holiday in the Swiss Alps. And every day there was a choice of two walks, the low walk or the high walk. So it was quite tempting to choose the low walk because you stayed in the foothills and you'd be back at the hotel in time for afternoon tea. But if you chose the high walk, well, that was more challenging. There were steep slopes, perilous ledges, rough paths. But it was worth it because you ended up in the mountain peaks like this, breathing the crystal air and seeing wonderful views for miles around. Well, our Bible reading today is like one of those high walks. It concerns marriage, the relationship between a husband and a wife. And this part of God's word is challenging. It is challenging because marriage is such a personal topic. Many of us aren't married. I think probably most of us here this evening aren't married. And for all of us who are married, every marriage is different. It's a personal topic. It's also a challenging topic. I'm coming on to that. I'm coming on to it, Alan. Just wait. It's challenging because marriages are difficult at one time or another. But actually, I know a number of us have been widowed or actually faced great betrayal and difficulty in marriages in the past. It's a difficult topic. And of course, it's challenging because this part of God's word is so controversial. And parts of that reading that we just heard may seem out of date, even dangerous, should be left as ancient history. And even hearing this reading may leave us feeling wobbly and wondering, is God and his word unfair and unjust? So for all those reasons, it's tempting to take the low walk this evening and skim over this passage. But I want to invite us together to take the high walk and together to take the challenge of understanding what God is saying to us in this part of his word. Let's think together about how God's unchanging word speaks into our changing world and our lives today. It's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be worth it. Because as we understand this part of God's word, we see views of God's deep purpose for marriage. And actually, even better than that, God's love for us, his people, in Jesus Christ. Well, so far in the book of Ephesians, we have seen that when we trust in Jesus Christ, God brings about an enormous change in our lives. Once we were dead in our transgressions and sins, now we have been made alive with Jesus. Once we were isolated individuals, now we have been brought together as God's people, God's church. And we saw last week that because God has worked this great change in us, we who believe should live distinctive lives. We should be different from the world around us. And this week, and then in the next two sessions, we'll see that those distinctive lives need to be lived not only here at church, but also in the household, between wives and husbands, children and parents, and masters and slaves. And today we're focusing on marriage. And the starting point for all these distinctive lives in the household is verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we must all put each other first. And what we'll see is that the way we do that is different, depending on whether we're wives or husbands, parents or children, workers or bosses. As we focus on marriage today, the big lesson we're going to see is that the relationship between husband and wife should reflect the relationship between Christ and his people. And we've got a diagram for this. It's going to stay up for most of the service. Our earthly marriages should reflect our heavenly marriage. And that blue line points both ways, because the relationship between Christ and his people should set the pattern for the relationship between husband and wife. And the earthly marriage should point and show people something of what that heavenly marriage is like. Well, that's the big thing that we're going to explore this evening. And we're going to see what it means for wives, what it means for husbands, what it means for those who are single. And actually, if you're not married, as most of us aren't, I hope this is going to be really helpful, showing us how to support friends who are married and how to prepare for it if we do get married in the future. So first, let's look at the teaching here for wives, which we see in verses 22 to 24. The words of verse 22 are shocking to our eyes. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. We need to think about this. We need to understand what it means and why it says this in God's word. See, the Bible is revolutionary because from the first page, it insists on the absolute equality of men and women as created in God's image, equal in dignity and in value. According to the Bible, men are not more able than women. Indeed, I think of my own marriage. Louise, my wife, is far wiser and more capable than I am. Or at least that's what she seems to have written here in my notes. Speaking to her about that later. No, she'd be the first to deny it, but it's true. One of the things that made Jesus and the early church so attractive in the ancient world was that men and women were treated as equal in dignity and in value. So why then in Ephesians 5 do we see different instructions for wives and husbands? Well, the answer is that the Bible consistently calls men and women to different roles within marriage. See, God created marriage for more than just companionship and pleasure. For more even than just child raising. As we've seen, God created marriage to reflect the relationship between Christ and his people. So verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the savior. The head is the loving ruler. We've seen the term head twice already in Ephesians, that Christ is the head of the whole universe and he's the head of the church. He's the Lord, but he's the loving Lord. As it says here, he is our savior. He leads us by loving us. And the husband is called to be like Christ in that way, to be the loving leader of the marriage, to lead in a way that loves and serves his wife. Now, if that's the husband's calling, the wife has a parallel calling to submit to her husband. Now, the English language doesn't help us here. I think in English, the word submit makes you think of giving in to a superior force, giving in to one who is stronger. That's not the sense that the word carries in the Bible. Biblically, to submit means one equal person voluntarily accepting the leadership of another equal person for God's glory. We know this because within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is submission. Jesus Christ, God the Son, chooses to submit to God the Father. As the Son, he is absolutely equal with the Father. And yet in love, he chooses to submit to him and follow the leadership of the Father. So we're learning here the role of the wife is to be like Christ. It is to encourage and support her husband, who is her equal, to be the best possible servant leader of the family that he can be. And we'll think in a minute what that can mean in practice. But let's move now to the instruction for husbands in verses 25 to 33. And just look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That is huge. It's actually just as surprising, just as subversive, just as challenging as what we have just seen. Husbands here are called to love and to sacrifice themselves for their wives, just as Christ loved and sacrificed himself for his people. Paul continues in verse 26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. See, Jesus died for us to cleanse us. When we trust in him, he washes our sins away. And to make us holy, that means to set us apart as God's people, belonging to God and ready to serve him. And on the day when Jesus returns, all who trust in him will be made perfect and will be presented to him without any trace of sin. And at last, Jesus and his people, his bride, will be together. How Jesus has loved his people. It's so exciting. It is the ultimate love story between Jesus and his people. And husbands, this is how we should love our wives. Sacrificing ourselves for their good, especially for their spiritual good, to help them grow in knowing and loving Jesus Christ. Well, Paul reinforces his point in verse 28. Verse 28. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. It's a similar point. Husbands should love their wives as they love their own bodies. And Paul focuses on how Jesus cares for his body, which is us. If we trust in Jesus, we are united with him. Together we are his body. And Jesus feeds us, he nourishes us with his word. And he cares for us, providing for us in every situation. And that's the example for husbands. We should nurture and care for our wives, just as Christ does the church. And the reason in verse 31 is a quote which takes us right back to Genesis chapter 2 and the first marriage between Adam and Eve, the pattern for all marriages. So verse 31, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. In marriage, a husband and wife are so deeply united. There's physical union and the joy of sexual union. but also emotional, relational union, united in every way. It's why a husband must love his wife as his own body. The two have become one. And Paul says in verse 32, this is a profound mystery. Remember what a mystery is in Ephesians? It's a truth we could never work out for ourselves, which God has made known. The union of husband and wife. Well, that truly is a deep truth. But Paul continues, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. The deeper truth is that Jesus has united himself with his people. And then verse 33, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. It's a great principle we've been seeing throughout. The relationship between husband and wife, the earthly marriage, should reflect the heavenly marriage, the relationship between Christ and his people. And we've seen that there's both a sameness and a difference to the roles of husband and wife within marriage. They're the same because both are called to be like Jesus Christ. Both are called to put one another first. But they're different because the way they do that is different. So husbands are called to love their wives in sacrificial leadership, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And wives are called to support the servant leadership of their husbands, just as God the Son follows the leadership of God the Father. Now, why it's that way round between husbands and wives, I don't know. We don't know why it's that way round between God the Son and God the Father. But we do know that for us to be like Jesus in both of these ways is so good. Now, it's a deep teaching we've seen here in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's tempting to dismiss it as just a cultural thing from the first century. But we can't do that. So we've seen it's not just cultural, it's rooted in the relationship between Jesus Christ and his people. And the way this works out will be different in every marriage. But it means, husbands, our wives' welfare should be our first priority under God. Which I find that so challenging. I know as a husband, I fall far short. But husbands, we should be praying for our wives to flourish in Christ. We should be doing what we can to encourage and support our wives to have time with the Lord Jesus in the Bible, to be able to make it to church and to growth group, to come to church and growth group with them as we support them. Husbands, we must protect time to talk with our wives and, if possible, pray together. We should be careful that our words are always serving to build up rather than to break down our wives. We must support our wives so that they have time and space for friendship with other women and for family relationships, even if that means sacrifice to ourselves. And husbands, sexually, we must put our wives' needs above our own. Our great concern should be our wives' emotional and physical welfare and sexual intimacy, not our own pleasure. And of course, we find that as husbands love and serve their wives in the whole of life, well, generally speaking, the sex within marriage is so much better. Things are working as God intended. It's a high calling we have as husbands to love and sacrifice ourselves for our wives, just as Christ did his people. And then wives also have a high calling to support the servant leadership of their husbands. Now, it does not mean that the wife should do whatever her husband asks her. No, her first loyalty is to the Lord Jesus. To submit to our husbands in everything doesn't mean in everything they might ask us to do. It means in every sphere of life. And it doesn't mean being passive either. Godly wives use all of their skills and all of their insights to support their husbands to be the best possible servant leaders that they can be. Again, speaking about their husbands in ways that builds them up rather than breaks them down, and praying for their husbands to flourish as the head of the family. It'll work out differently in every marriage, but it's great to talk. How can I love you better? How can I support you more? Now, whenever we speak about this topic, it's important to note that tragically, these verses have been used as a cover-up for abusive behaviour. There are men who are violent towards their wives, men who seek to control their wives, who they spend time with, how they spend their money, men who persistently belittle their wives, and then they dare to tell their wives that they should submit to that. And that is a gross misuse of this passage. The instruction to the husband here is to love his wife. To submit is always the wife's choice. It's not for the husband to demand that his wife support his leadership. It's for the husband to love his wife so that his leadership is worth following. And that is her choice out of commitment to Christ. And actually, if husband or wife or any situation, you're on the receiving end of those abusive behaviours, speak to me, speak to Rachel, speak to Richard, speak to Sharon. We'd love to listen and to help. Of course, there are other situations as well where these roles can be challenging in different ways. So wives, you may have a husband who is not a believer, and so he's not ready to lead the family in Christ, as we've been discussing. And in that case, you will have to lead spiritually. But there will be other areas of life in which you can support his leadership. Again, husbands, you may have a wife who is not a believer, but you can still love and serve her as Christ has loved the church. What is calling for husbands and for wives can be hard, but when you see it lived out, it is such a beautiful thing. Think of one couple who I know, and the wife is so skilled relationally. She is just brilliant with people, and she uses those skills to support her husband's leadership. And the husband just consistently, in little decisions and in big decisions, sacrifices what he wants for his wife's good. You know, whether it's where they go on holiday or smaller things as well, you just see he's always putting her first. And they both do it because they know that Jesus has loved them at the cross. And when you see that earthly marriage, it's a brilliant picture of the relationship between Christ and his people. You see this couple and you think, oh yes, I get it. That's what Jesus' leadership is like. That's how he loves us. That's what it's like to flourish under the leadership of Christ. Well, before we conclude, I want to apply this teaching to those of us who are single. Whether we're unmarried or divorced or widowed, how can this teaching apply to us? Well, it tells you that if you're single and trusting in Jesus, you have the heavenly marriage, the relationship with Christ, which even the best earthly marriage can only point to. So I brought with me here my model Lamborghini. It's a great model. It's fun to look at. It teaches you quite a lot about the real Lamborghini. But after all, it's only the model. Whereas if you look in the car park after the service, you'll see that I've driven here this evening in a real Skoda. But imagine I'd come in a real Lamborghini. I think we can have one up on the screen. The point is, the model is great, but it only points to the real car. Now, if you owned the real Lamborghini, you could be content whether you had the model or not, because you'd have the real thing. Now, if we're trusting in Jesus, whether we're single or married, we've got the real Lamborghini. We're part of that heavenly marriage between Jesus Christ and his people. If you're trusting in Jesus, he is your heavenly bridegroom. He's loved you and given himself for you. He's cleansed you. He's made you holy. And he's going to bring you together with all his people perfect in his sight. Now, I know it can be hard being single. After all, we can't see Jesus yet. But knowing that we have that ultimate marriage helps us be content whether we're married now or not. Actually, also helps us to be content when marriage is hard. The culture around us makes such an idol of marriage. It tells us that it's the key to being happy, safe, and loved. It's not. Those things come from our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible calls both marriage and singleness good. I think it's fair to say every church needs a combination of single people and married people. Single people show us that the relationship with Jesus is the best thing in life and that he is all sufficient. And married people, in the way they relate to each other, reflect something of what that relationship with Jesus is like. This has great relevance for us if we are considering whether to marry and if we're dating. Now, the Bible teaches us that Christian believers, when they choose a spouse, should only choose another believer in Jesus. See, for example, 1 Corinthians 7:39. Now, to start with, that sounds restrictive. Why should a Christian only choose to marry another Christian? But when we realize that the chief purpose of marriage is together to show something of Jesus' relationship with his church, well, it makes sense. And of course, that's so relevant when we think about dating. If the purpose of dating is working out whether you both want to marry, well, it only makes sense for Christians to do that with others who love Jesus Christ. And the key question to be thinking in dating is not, do I like their clothes or their cooking or their conversation? But women, is this a man whose loving leadership I would want to support? And men, is this a woman who I would want to sacrifice myself for her good, especially helping her get to know Jesus better? Well, this evening we've been up in the high peaks of God's word. It's challenging, it's stretching, it may need lots more thought and discussion. But we've seen that marriage is a wonderful gift of God. If we're married, we should thank God for our spouses and treasure them. It is such a privilege to be together with our spouse, reflecting something of that relationship between Christ and his people. But we've also seen that our earthly marriages are not the ultimate relationship. That's the heavenly marriage, our relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're single, keep your eyes on the cross of Christ. Jesus loves you. He has given himself for you. In him, you are part of the ultimate marriage, loved, cleansed, and heading to be with him forever. And actually, if we're married, it's exactly the same takeaway. Keep your eyes fixed on the cross of Jesus. Marriage is not always easy. It's two sinners joined together. Now, husbands and wives, we're called to do the same thing, to be like Jesus, to serve each other. And we're called to do that in different ways. And actually, my wife Louise and I have found the key to doing that is keeping our eyes fixed on the cross of Jesus. There are so many times when we do not feel like putting the other one first. And we don't do it because they deserve it or because we hope if I put her first now, she'll put me first later. No, we do it because we're looking at the cross of Jesus. Wives, support your husband's loving leadership, not because he deserves it, but because Jesus gave himself for you to make you his. And that's how Jesus the Son relates to his Father. Husbands, love your wives with a sacrificial love, laying down your life for their good, not because they deserve it or because you hope they'll do it back to you, but because that is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's have a moment of quiet and then I'll pray. We'd love to talk more after the service about how these things work out. So do come and chat after the service, either to ask about marriage and singleness or simply to play with the toy Lamborghini. But for now, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us, who has made us holy and cleansed us, and who, when he returns, will present us to himself without trace of sin. We pray that knowing his love and delighting in his love would very deeply shape our approaches to marriage and to singleness. For your glory. Amen.